Well, good morning again. As this week transpired around the office, it got more and more exciting as the week went along because Pastor Dustin got more and more excited to sing that song we just sang. He gets excited about certain songs, and he just kept telling me, I'm not sure we can pull it off this week because it's new. I haven't done it with my team, but I want to do it. And then I was playing at my office, and I could hear him from his office going, oh, it's a great part. And he'd come running over here. I love that line. He's so excited. So good. Is it good, Dustin? It's amazing. And I'm singing the song differently today because I'm picking up the parts that he came and said, remember, this is an awesome part. This is great. This is wonderful. 100 billion failures just disappear. But that is the God that we serve, this transcendent and yet immanent God. This God that is beyond our description, beyond our understanding, and yet who chooses to walk with us in a very intimate way. And I, for the life of me, in this 55 years for his old people, right, Denise? 55 years of my life, I've tried to figure out all that out, and I just can't get my head around it. And yet I love it. I love the fact that God is so big that he could just and make everything disappear. And there should be times that he just goes, pump, Dennis, you're gone. Enough. We've tried too many times. How many times do I have to beat my head against the wall with you to get you to get it? And yet, he hasn't. Even the opposite, he sent his son, Jesus, to come to earth, to take on form of a human being, to go through all the frailties of human nature, though he was still God. To allow God to be seen in a different way, to set an example of how we should live, to initiate and to inaugurate God's kingdom here on earth in a new way, and to walk with those who would then walk with others, who would walk with others, who would walk with others, who would walk with others, and then 2,000 some years later, we are gathered here still talking about him, still in desperate need of his presence. Still crying out to him to show himself and honoring him when he does and honoring him when we can't see it. That's the joy of walking not only with Christ, but in walking in Christian family with one another. And I love the fact that we get to do that. There are celebrations in our midst today, and there are broken hearts in our midst today. There are frail bodies, fragile egos, emotional wrecks, spiritual mess-ups, screw-ups, everything possible. And we gather together to walk the road of life together. And somehow, 2,000 some years ago, as Jesus came and walked on this earth and walked a very clear process of making sure that the kingdom of God was begun in a new way under his leadership as our king. And he left it in the small hands of a small group of people in a very not well respected area of the world at the time. And within 30 some years, we have the kingdom of God expanding to the known world at that time. Because he put a plan in action that would see the goal be that others would be like him. And that we've experienced God in a new way, and we've seen him face to face, and we've wrestled with is he or isn't he, and we know that he is, but we're not sure that he really is. And then he dies and he comes back to life. And man, we should be like him. We should lead a life like he does. This week, I spent a lot of time going through scripture. We're going to talk a lot about Jesus. We always do, but we're going to talk very specifically about Jesus this coming year. And I'm excited by that because there's no other thing I would love to talk to anybody about than Jesus. Because when we talk about Jesus, God the Father is glorified. We know that from Philippians chapter 2. Name of Jesus is spoken, every knee in heaven and earth shall bow and confess him as Lord to the glory of God the Father in heaven. But it's so fun to just come back and chat about him. and to understand that we need to really get a hold of what it means to follow Christ. I said I searched Scripture this week. I've searched all of the Gospels for a time where Jesus just comes out and says, you should be like me. And he never really says it that clearly. Paul says, you should imitate me as I imitate Christ. But Jesus never comes out and just says, look at me, be like me. I'm the perfect answer. What Jesus said is, come and follow me. Walk with me. Hang out with me. Abide with me. Stay with me. Continue with me. And then something revolutionary happens. People want to be like him. His priorities, his mission, all the things that were important about what he was doing and just the character of who he was becomes the things that people want. Though he didn't overtly come out often and say, you should look at me and take notes because you should be like me, he just says, follow me and hang out with me. And let's see what rubs off on you. And there were lots who came and hung out, and he tried to rub off on them, and they said, this is too hard a teaching, and we're going the other way. But there were a number, and we have the 12 who were called and set apart for that, but we have the 72, and we have the 500, and we have the thousands that came. And I don't doubt that, you know, early on, those first few days after he ascends into heaven, when Peter preaches, and we've got 5,000 converts, this message got out there. And despite the fact that there were no trains, planes, automobiles of any sort, the message goes to the known world in 30 short years. To every extreme of the known world, the gospel is being preached. This year, our goal is to be pressing in hard to who Jesus is. And I don't know what's going on in each of your lives. I know some of your lives. I don't know all of your lives. And no matter what is going on in your life, I hope you will choose to walk with us and press into Christ this year. Our goal is to walk intimately with God and to invite others to journey with us. And we do that through our knowledge of and our desire to be like Jesus Christ himself. I keep changing the plan on Pastor Dustin. As of this morning, the plan changed again. The topic of what we're talking about hasn't changed. How we're going to talk about it has changed. But I believe what we're going to be doing over the next year is really just looking at the different phases of Jesus' life in chronological order to figure out what he was doing. Because as Jesus walked 33 years on this earth, he really only ministered for 3. And half of that was just the laying of the groundwork. It wasn't until halfway through his ministry, 3 years, that he begins to really pick the 12 and says, okay, now you're walking with me. Now you're going to take this and run with it. And we have 3 years of understanding his ministry, and we have 3 years of understanding how he laid this out for people at all ends of the spectrum. When he started and called those first few followers who ended up being some of his apostles later, they didn't have a clue. But they followed him. And they hung with him, and they pressed into him, and they asked him questions, and he asked them questions, and he asked them these riddles called parables, and things didn't make sense, and he interacted with people, and they watched this happen. And slowly but surely, he reveals more and more of his plan, more and more of what God is doing. And we're going to take a hard look at that this year. If you have your Bibles, take them. We're just going to look at one passage this morning because I want to leave lots of time for Yudi to share with us. I want to just read this passage and give you a quick challenge to be thinking about as we come into next week, as we prepare to really kick off this theme of this idea of you know, just walking with Jesus this year. But take your Bibles, open them to John chapter 15. It's a passage we read a lot, but I think it's a great one to read a lot. It's one of the most profound acknowledgments and disclosures of Jesus about how we are to live and walk with him. How do we make it in this tough world by following him? And I love it, as I've said before, I can relate to it because of working on the tree farm for years and budding and grafting and all those things. There's a beautiful picture in that for me that's very visual. But John chapter 15, we're going to read the first 17 verses. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his own life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go out and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. In this process, Jesus is laying out this idea of just staying together, that we have to be connected intimately with him to find the answer to the things that we need answers for, to find our value, to find our way, to find our mission. And there's this idea of, you know, just remaining with him. The old school Bibles that you may have would say abide. And the word simply means to stay or to continue with him. It's not a process of going stagnant somewhere and finding him and saying, I'm staying here. It's a very active process of finding him and continuing with him through life as he guides you and as he leads you. There's this idea of connection. There's this idea of a continuation and this idea of dependence on him for all things. And I hope this year that we will really dig into that. And wherever you're coming from, whatever point you are at, I hope you will pick up the challenge to know him better. A few weeks ago, I talked about three things: your first step, your next step, and your big step. And I want us to continue to think about that. If you're one who's been trying this, to figure out who this Jesus thing person is and this faith thing is and this church thing is, I hope you dig in and understand Jesus like you've never done before. I hope you ask for help, that we could walk with you to help you understand who Jesus not was, but who Jesus is. So that may be your first step. Your next step may be being baptized, and you know, you've been scared to get in the waters of baptism and to show to the body of believers that you're a follower of Christ and you need their support. We're going to push that. It might be becoming a member of the church and just being actively involved in our ministry like so many of you are, whether you're a member or not. We're going to encourage membership. And maybe just finding that place of service that fits you, whether it's in the walls of this church or out in our greater community. I don't personally care. We need a lot of you here, but the community needs you too. And then that big step is that call to leadership development that we're going to be very actively pursuing this year together. So in the weeks to come, you'll hear some things about helping you take your first step, helping you take your next step, and helping you take your big step. So stay tuned for that. I said I'd give you a challenge. I'm going to give you this challenge right now. I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about a day in your life. What if you took one day? Now, this is not my thoughts. I wish it were. I rarely have a very original thought, but you steal from the best. And this is from the book Walk Like Jesus by Max Licato. And honestly, I think you could read this first paragraph of the book, first couple paragraphs, and stop reading the book because you get the point. But it's a good book. You should read the book. First two paragraphs of chapter one, he says, consider your life. Consider a day in your life. This day is going to have all the same problems you've always had. Financial problems are there. Employment problems are there. Relational problems are there. Everything's there. The only difference in this day is that Jesus is going to come and live your life for you. And the only thing that changes is not your circumstances, not your finances, not your relationships, not the broken relationships, not the strain. The only thing that changes is that Jesus will bring his heart, not yours, into your life. What would change? How would that day look different? I had at least 4 days this week that didn't go so well. And I asked this question each of those 4 days. And the problem is I didn't ask it soon enough. I asked it at the end of the day. And at the end of the day, I'd say, well, if I had the heart of Jesus, I wouldn't have gone on the phone and gotten angry at this person about this situation. I would have been kinder, gentler, more compassionate. I would have asked her how her day was going before I told her what was wrong with my day. There was one time this week, should have been more probably, but I had to send an email to say, I'm sorry for the way I responded to you. You didn't deserve that. But when we press into Christ, we walk with this understanding of how that should be more and more every day. I've said it before and I'll say it again. My life is a human life where every once in a while holiness breaks in. Where what I want it to be is a holy life where every once in a while my humanness breaks back in. But I'm in that process of inverting that slowly but surely over time and messing up a whole lot. So the challenge this week for us is to think that if Jesus came into your life and ran your life with all the problems and everything the same, except for it was his heart, not yours, how would your life look different? And then stay with us for this year as we walk life together and try to learn to understand his heart, to replicate his heart, to be encouraged by his heart, living in us slowly but surely, one small piece at a time. And I know that's going to be exciting and encouraging and challenging and frustrating for us this year, because those things are frustrating as we turn ourselves further and further into fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. So this year with Jesus is going to be about Jesus. We're going to look at the practices, the people, the parables, and the presence of Jesus in different ways. These stories he tells, these parables, these riddles that nobody seems to get, these practices, things that he did that we should do. Jesus left early in the morning to go out when nobody else was awake to spend time with the Father. Jesus practiced hospitality even though he didn't have a home. Jesus always found the person sitting by themselves who were outcast, and just if somebody would touch his cloak and he would know their presence. We're going to look at those things. But this year, one of the things we're going to talk about is the presence of Christ in our community, in our world. Through you, some of our people, we're going to be giving testimony to what God is doing. I know a number of you have signed up to be block connectors with your neighborhoods. And I know Lauren and Kevin helped host a block party last night. It looked terrible yesterday morning, and it turned out being beautiful for their block party last night. They are being Christ's presence, even though they're not shoving Christ down anybody's throats in that moment. They're being Christ's presence. And today, we have Yudi. Yudi, I'm going to ask you to come on up. I'm going to turn this on for you here, get her ready. We're going to switch over to her PowerPoint. This is Yudi Nakano, everybody. Say hello. Yudi represents this church in some small way as one of our career missionaries that we support. And she is a disciple maker in Japan. And she's going to talk to us about that and tell us about that. But we're thankful that she can, in some small way, represent what we are about here, because we give our money and we support her in a very small way. I wish it were more. We'll work on that. But we are able to support her along with other churches that she could be in Japan doing what she's doing. Told you before, I have dear friends for many years who were in Japan for many years, and I know how hard the Japanese culture can be to bring the gospel in. But Yuri, I'm going to pray for you at the end, but if you would just talk to us about your ministry, whatever you want to share with us, we're excited to hear about your presence as the presence of Christ in Japan. And just go forward that one, back with that one. Okay?
Ohayou gozaimasu. That is the Japanese way to say good morning. And yes, it is just such a privilege to be able to visit with you again and to share what God is doing in Japan. I want to personally thank you for the support that you've given to me ever since the beginning. So I've been in Japan now for over 8 years, and this is my second home assignment, and I'm home here for about a year, and I'm halfway through, so I will go back to Japan in March. And I just want to say that, yes, you who are on my prayer list and you pray for me, I thank you so much for that, because you are partners with me in bringing the gospel to Japan. And this is our team. This is the NAB team in Japan. There's only 4 of us, so we are very small. We used to be a much larger group, but since the other missionaries retired, they haven't been replaced. But that's me with Paul and Melissa Ewing in the middle, and Shan Reed on the other end. And Melissa and Paul and Shan, right now, they are leading up a church plant called the Komio Christian Church. And for me, the last 4 years, or I should say 5 years, I have been helping out 2 churches that have no pastors. They're struggling churches, and so I had a very challenging term last 5 years. I just want to let you know what the spiritual challenge we have in Japan. It's had over 2,000 years of really spiritual darkness. Japan has never had any more than, well, more than 1% of its population being Christian. According to the Joshua Project, Japan is the second largest unreached nation in the world. I looked up what the first nation is, and that's Bangladesh. But second to Bangladesh is Japan. And that's surprising to some people because, well, Japan is a very rich, economically, developed nation. And people have even told me, well, I don't consider that a mission field, but it very much is. And I visited Guatemala at the beginning of my home assignment, and I fulfilled one of the things on my bucket list, and that was to visit my compassion child. And so I had a culture shock when I went there because I had just come back from Japan. And then, boom, I was in Guatemala. Yes, Guatemala had very poor conditions economically. But when I went to the churches were vibrant. And each person that we met, they said things like, "I thank God. God bless you." Those words don't come out of a Japanese person's mouth. If you meet someone for the first time, Japan is very spiritually poor nation, and there is one church for every 16,000 people, and an average sized church in Japan, a very good sized church, is 30 people. So, and when I looked up at the Joshua Project website, they also say that you will need at least 2,000 more missionaries, pioneer workers, to make a dent in that percentage. So, definitely Japan is a nation that needs a lot of prayer. The NAB, the Japan Baptist Conference, we have 10 established churches, and one church plant, the Komio church plant. When I go back in March, I will be helping out the Ewings and Shan in helping this church plant to just to become an established church with a Japanese pastor. So we're praying for that. And this is the church that I was helping out, the struggling church. And I'm struggling with my little thing here. Oh, anyway, as you can see, it's a very tiny church. It just looks like a house. And it's because it is that has been just transformed into a church. And that little white car is the car that I drive. And as you can see, Japan is very limited in space. So the church only has two parking lots. I mean, two small cars can just fit there. And but this church had no pastor for quite some time. And just to give you what kind of a challenge I was faced with, this church only has 5 active members, and the youngest is 70 years old. This is the Heijo Christian Church, which I will talk more about. And this church has at least half the size of a regular size church. So it had 15 members. And but this church was also struggling without a pastor. And basically, my role was to teach Bible study and to give messages once a month in both of these churches, and to try and help out with some outreach events. Now, this church, that's the picture of the Bible study, and one of the highlights at that church was that a 13-year-old boy got baptized while we were there. And this is a picture of just how terrible of a state the church was in upstairs, which is the pastor's residence, which hadn't been lived in for many, many years. And if you go inside, the ceiling is coming down. And there was... Oops. Oh. There's supposed to be another picture in between there. But anyway, the other picture is supposed to show a big mountain of junk that had accumulated over the years. And when I first looked at it, my first question was, where did this all come from? This whole pipe, you know, big pile of junk. And nobody could tell me. They just said, we don't know. And the church people were very discouraged. They thought it was impossible to get a pastor to come. They didn't have enough money. And they had just had a spirit of just giving up. And that can be contagious. And to be truthful, I also got discouraged. And if it weren't for the prayers of many people, I think I would have, you know, wallowed in their discouragement as well. But as I'm sure throughout the year, as you spend time delving deeper with the presence of Christ, and as I personally experienced that I needed, especially in those times of discouragement, to spend time with Jesus, to abide in him, to just receive the word from Jesus saying that if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, even this mountain can be removed. And I looked at that mountain of junk and I thought, yeah, Jesus, you're right. I have to look at this challenge through your eyes. And through Jesus' eyes, this was not an impossibility. And so he gave me an idea and he said, bring a garbage bag. So I brought a garbage bag to the church and I asked to see the upstairs. And they said, "What are you doing?" I saw a pile of stuffed animals, and I thought that would fit really well in the garbage bag. So I put it in. And one of the ladies, she was in her 70s, and she said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm going to bring this and throw it away, because if you're going to get a pastor, you're going to have to get this pastor's residence fixed up and cleaned up." "Okay," she said. And then so next week, I bring another bag, and I start filling it up again. And that same lady, she comes up to me and she goes, "Yuri sensei," and she's very angry with me. She's like, "Stop doing that." And I said, "Oh boy, why?" And she goes, "You shouldn't be doing that. We should be doing that." And I said, "Exactly, you got it." And so she's like, okay, I got it. And so then she follows with that, and she grabs her own garbage bag, and she starts filling it up. Others follow suit. And it was just amazing. I thought, God is faithful, and he does amazing things when we put our trust in him. And once the members of the church put their trust in God, took that step of faith and grabbed a garbage bag and started to take action, that's when God really started to move things, and he was just waiting for that step of faith. And he was doing things in the background too, where people cannot see. This is a picture of Pastor Yuzawa. He was the leader of the Japan Baptist Conference for 1 year. This was last year. And this is actually a picture of him preaching in Edmonton, because I had brought a team from Japan for the Triennial Conference, which was last year in July. And so anyway, he's preaching there. But he is close to 80 years old. And, you know, I thought, it doesn't matter how old you are. When God is working in your life, he gives you the energy and the power to do his will. And so what Pastor Yuzawa did is he gathered all the other churches and their pastors and said, "You know what? The Heijo Church is taking a step of faith, and they want to have a pastor, but they don't have enough money. Why don't we help our sister church? Why don't we give them a loan that they can pay back in 10 years so that they can renovate the pastor's residence? And let's also give them a 2-year stipend for a pastor to come. And let's just give them that as a gift. They don't have to return that gift." And all the other churches agreed. And then this is how the renovations are started, and all the scaffolding is on there. And this is what it looked like afterwards. All that junk was removed. New straw mats put out. Those are the bedrooms, and just beautiful, ready for a pastor to move in. And then God was already working in the background, working in the life of a man who had quit seminary halfway because he thought it was too hard. And then God tugged his heart again and said, "No, I want you to serve me." And he decided to go back to seminary. And what would have taken 2 more years to study, he was able to complete in 1. So Pastor Keisuke Yamamoto, he arrived at the church. He moved in the week before I left. And this is actually a picture that they sent me a week later, after I had already arrived back in Edmonton. And this is his installation service. This is April 14th, 2019. So this is the work of God. So yeah, let's give him a hand. So I was able to witness God working through this It's a really tiny, struggling church. And I thought, you know, God can do amazing things. He just wants us to put our faith in him. Another thing that God was trying to teach me is, yes, how can I be, as a representative of Christ, how can I be that representative to my community where I live? So 5 years ago, I moved to a new neighborhood, and I was praying about how can I be a witness here. And so I started to volunteer at the local community seniors group. And so every other Thursday morning, I would go here, and this is, on the one side is a picture of the seniors doing flower arranging. So every week, there would be a different kind of theme and event. And then the other side shows the other volunteers. And I've been focusing on these other ladies. They're all housewives or... a lot of them actually are widowed and kind of lonely. And so this is their way to just, they have nothing else to do, so they volunteer. And I've developed relationships with them and invited them to my home, especially during Christmas time, and in hopes of opportunities to speak about Jesus. The reason why Japan is still called unreached is because even Christmas, most people don't know what that means. They don't know who Jesus is. Many of them have never seen a Bible before. Even though if you go to a bookstore, you can easily find one. Japan is not... you are free to speak about Jesus. You're not going to be persecuted. It's not like China, where there's a lot of regulations and restrictions. But somehow, even without that, you know, that political persecution, Japan still seems to... it's a very difficult culture to break through. And... they say it will take at least 20 years to develop a relationship where you develop a trust where anyone will even listen to you or hear you. This last term, a surprise to me was to fulfill kind of a childhood dream. I was not raised in a Christian home. I first heard the gospel through a camp at Sylvan Lake, Alberta. I attended that camp, and there was a lady who did ventriloquism and shared the gospel in that way. And that's the year I accepted Jesus into my heart. And I always thought I'd love to try that. But who in the world teaches this? I've never encountered anyone growing up here in Alberta. And so here I was on the train. My friend was telling me about how her sons went to see a ventriloquist show. And I said, wow, you know, I've always wanted to learn how to do that. And she says, oh, I know someone who does that. She teaches right at the mall next to you. So the mall is only about a 3-minute walk from where I live. And they have these classes. And so I went to the class, and I just fell in love with it. And so here I have Ducky, and I have Tony, and I have Lenny. This is only about 3 years ago, but it's amazing how this has also opened up opportunities to bring Christ into the community. So that picture there with Ducky, that's where I'm doing it in front of the seniors. And the seniors love it. You know, it's not just the kids. And when I saw the impact I was just so amazed. I thought, when people listen to me, they kind of yawn. But with Ducky, everyone's eyes are so wide, and they're really listening. And I thought, wow, Ducky is powerful. So, but I guess word got around that I do this. So then churches and schools and just many different places I had opportunity to share the gospel. And so I thank God for that. And also, this is what I'm passionate about. It's to disciple women. And so Shan Reed and I, we have started these ladies seminars. And this is at the church plant Komio. And the lady in the middle, she's wearing a t-shirt and she has gray hair. She travels 2 hours to get to this church to attend our seminars. She attended every single one. And she went home and she told her husband about what she was learning. And it was just amazing because Shannon and I didn't know that she was doing this. And we didn't find out until Pastor Yuzawa, he stood up in front of the churches again and the pastors and said, "My wife has told me how much that she has been learning in these seminars. I encourage you all to invite them to your churches as well." And so in Japan, nothing gets done or nothing moves until the leader agrees or supports it. And so because Pastor Yuzawa supported it, things just went so quickly. Like within a month, the other churches said, "Yes, we want you to come." And so we started up the seminars in the other regions. And so when I go back, that's what I look forward to doing, to continue doing this, to train the women to do this for themselves. And basically what the women are craving and really wanting is to drop their masks. In Japan, it's all about politeness. It's all about harmony. And so but there's even a word called tatemae and honne. Tatemae means it's the self that you show in public. So it's like a mask. You don't show your true self. You only show that self to be polite and to have harmony in the group. But the honne is what they're really feeling. It's their true self. And oftentimes, even within the church, it's hard to have the real self come out and to interact with Scripture in a way that is deep. And so that's what we're trying to provide. We're trying to provide that environment and to teach them. And the youth is another area in which it's a new area for me. And with the JBC youth and being able to be on the committee for that. And I just love it. I love this group as well. And I see children and youth really the future of the churches in Japan. And over the years, there have been 5 or 6 baptisms that we were able to celebrate. So this is another area that I hope to return to and encourage and help and support. So these are the major prayer requests. We just pray for more workers. We want more missionaries. And as I said, the Joshua Project listed, Japan could take, we'll need 2,000 more. And so anyway, we are looking at all various different types of missions opportunities, 1 to 2 years to teach English, definitely career missionaries for church planting, and even short term. And also another big, huge prayer request is for more pastors. And of course, these would be Japanese pastors. And within the JBC, out of the 10 churches, half of them could have pastors immediately because the pastors that are there, they're 80 years old. So pray for younger people to get the calling. And thank you so much for just investing in prayer. And I have set up a table out in the foyer, and I have new prayer cards that will help you to pray for me and for Japan. And there's also pen and paper there to write down your email address if you'd like to partner with me in prayer and receive my regular prayer updates. As, yes, definitely Japan really needs your prayers. So thank you so much.
Well, I want to pray for Yudi and the work over in Japan. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up and get ready for our last song. Now, real quick, I know Paul Ewing was having some health problems. Is he doing better now?
He is doing much better.
Okay, yep. Good. I know many were praying for him along that way. I love those stories. I love the faith of a mustard seed or the faith of a garbage bag. I've been bringing a garbage bag in here every week for the last 12 years, and nobody's joined me. No, just kidding. So, but what you can do with a little bit of faith, a little bit of action, that's amazing. So let us pray for the mission field in Japan, for Yudi especially in the time she's here and the time when she goes back. But let's lift up the whole team there as well. Father, we come before you today, and we thank you for our friend Yudi. We thank you for the work that she is doing, along with Paul and Melissa and with Shan, and with the Japanese Baptist Convention there, Lord. We just simply pray that your hand of anointing would be upon them, and that, Father, despite what we know of numbers that are needed and time that it takes, we pray that you would supernaturally intercede in Japan, that these things would happen in a way that only you could be the solution. So, Father, we pray for more missionaries, more pastors. We pray for a quicker time for people to be able to build trust, that more and more people would come to know the faith and the hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So thank you for Yudi and for her heart for so many. And Lord, as she's over here for the next 6 months, just doing home assignment and preparing to go back, I pray that you would just be, Lord, widening her heart for the people of Japan, even as she's away from them. And Father, we ask all of this in your precious name. Amen.